Welcome back to the Redefined Sisters podcast. We're really just so excited to bring you this episode, The Throne of God, Casting Our Cares and Living in Grace. So this conversation is actually part of our free preview on Patreon. So join us over there for more equipping content. So the dates for this free preview are June 23rd through 30th. And as we were kind of talking about this new podcast conversation that we wanted to do, one of the things that came to mind was the word motherhood. And as we talked about this and did some research, there was so much focus on a woman's tasks as it relates to caring for her children. And her dignity and value as a person were not even really mentioned. And so what we want you to take away from this is that the influence you have as a mother goes far beyond your tasks. And we want you to see that there is a purposeful design for flourishing and beauty in the kingdom of God. So sit back, enjoy, pour a cup of coffee or tea, grab your journal, and I hope you'll enjoy the sweet, sweet, edifying and equipping conversation that Rachel and I sit down to have together. Jen Wilkins says in her book, In His Image, the steady, selfless love that endures the test of time is a pearl of greatest price. God cares more about our holiness and sanctification in motherhood than he does about the tasks we actually accomplish day to day. When I was researching the word motherhood, there was a lot of focus on a woman's ability to conceive and bear children, her tasks as it related to caring for children, but what grieved me the most was that her dignity and value as a person were not even mentioned. The emphasis was on her status, whether she was a stay-at-home mom or working mom. What I found was this divide among women rather than a purposeful design for flourishing and beauty in the kingdom of God. Let's start with scripture. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that is Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 through 6. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. John 1, 14. So, ladies, what would it look like for us as women to walk in the freedom of the gospel, living in grace rather than shame, to fulfill God's call in our lives to look more like Jesus in the world around us? To begin our episode, let's start with a fun question. Let's take turns chatting about our mom style. So Rachel is our special guest. Rachel, what about you? What are your favorites? Favorite color, dessert, and go-to outfit?
So my favorite color is definitely purple. I like kind of like a lighter violet type of purple. And I would say for dessert, it is a toss-up. I really like pound cake, and I really like magic cookie bars. They have a graham cracker crust and chocolate chips and peanut butter chips. And I don't remember what they're called exactly, like butterscotch chips. And they've got, it's sweetened condensed milk and coconut. Anyway, they're called magic cookie bars. Super good dessert. And I would say my go-to outfit is probably something athleisure right now, being in the trenches of motherhood. I would say some athletic-y leggings, maybe a t-shirt, and a pair of comfy sneakers. What about you, Emily?
I love that, Rachel. Thank you for sharing. Your dessert sounds very delicious. So for me, I would say my go-to outfit is definitely anything pink. And dessert, I actually love making a healthy mug cake in the microwave with my favorite protein powder. So that's my go-to. And you can't go wrong with caramel drizzled over the top. So my go-to outfit would probably be jeans or shorts, comfy tank top for summer, and my Hey Dude shoes with some jewelry to keep it stylish. So, ladies, Rachel and I are actually recording in person today, so it's going to be fun, and I know you'll really enjoy the conversation on our Equip Her podcast. So, we are going to be talking all things motherhood. So, God's design for flourishing and beauty in the kingdom of God. So, be sure to join us for a special episode around the table. My friend Rachel and I are in person, so we're going to have a lot of fun together and have a sweet conversation. But I'm just really excited about where the Lord might lead us today and to encourage all of you that are listening. So I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Rachel.
Hi, ladies.
She is one of our ministry partners, but most importantly, a dear friend, and we are thankful for you and your gracious support of this ministry and podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We would love it if you could subscribe to this podcast so we can reach more women with the hope of the gospel. And I'm just deeply grateful that Rachel and I's paths have crossed. We are both in similar seasons. I have a 7-month-old. And Rachel, how old is your baby for all the ladies listening?
He is 5 months.
5 months. Okay. And we both have 5-year-old boys who are in the same class. So we both homeschool our boys part-time. And I think I can speak for both of us that it's been really enriching doing the university model, and it's been a wonderful blessing to our families. So, Rachel, if you want to share a little bit about yourself so the ladies can get to know you better, that would be great.
Yeah, so my name obviously is Rachel, and I have 2 boys, a 5-month-old little boy and a 5-year-old. And I'm doing the university model program alongside Emily. It's really fun to have our boys in the same class. They're both so sweet together. I have been married to my husband, Chad, for 10 years, and I am a stay-at-home mom. I absolutely love being a stay-at-home mom. And I was a teacher before becoming a mom. So I kind of enjoy getting to do kind of a part-time homeschool thing with my kiddos. And one little fun fact about me is that I am a crazy cat lady. I love cats. They're an absolute joy. I'm glad that God made them.
And you might hear them in the background.
Yes, we have a little one. So one of my favorite things that I love to do is I love to travel and explore new places. That kind of got put on pause a little bit. I had my son during COVID, and so I feel like my life has changed a little bit since becoming a mom, but that is one of my my joys. It looks a little bit differently now that I have children, but I love to explore new places and just see all the beauty that God has for us in all different parts of the world.
Yes, thank you for sharing. That is beautiful. So let's jump into the conversation, ladies. To begin, I want to focus on our hearts rather than our to-do lists and tasks that so often define us as mothers and women in general. And Jen Wilkin, in her book In His Image, says, God's will primarily concerns itself with who we are and secondarily with what we do. And that's really freeing to us as moms. She goes on to say, who should I be? And then she talks about being like Jesus. God's will for our lives is that we are transformed from one degree of glory to the next. And our prayer, Rachel and I's prayer for you ladies, is that you would behold the throne of God. You would cast your cares as moms and live in grace and live in the grace that Jesus gives us through the gospel. So we hope that you would see the splendor and beauty of Christ at work in your life through the transforming power of the gospel. And we just wanted to be in person today to really connect with you and show you that we ourselves are not perfect, but that is why we need Jesus in our lives as mothers. So again, we want to think about this statement, what would it look like for us as women to walk in the freedom of the gospel, living in grace rather than shame, to fulfill God's call in our lives to look more like Jesus in the world around us?
We wanted to take a few moments to let you know that we have a special discount code this month. You can use the code MOTHERHOOD and grab our newest Throne of God tanks. They're perfect for summer, and it's our special gift to you.
Okay, ladies, we are going to spend some time in John chapter 4. And I personally love the story of the woman at the well. It gets me every time. So Jesus meets her in this broken place of shame, and she becomes an evangelist. Yes, she shares the gospel, and many Samaritans believed in Jesus because of her testimony, and many more after that. So in this particular culture, a woman's testimony was not valid. They were looked down upon. So shame often became their identity, and it wasn't easy to be a woman in this culture. But she embraced the throne of grace and was given living, abiding water through her Savior, Jesus. Ladies, we don't want you to miss this. She began living in grace as she cast her cares upon Christ. Well, ladies, I'm going to start us off in John chapter 4, verses 7 through 30, and then I'll go over to verses 39 through 42. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" Verse 10, Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." So I paused here, and I want to kind of talk about it just a little bit. So we left off in verse 16. So Jesus named the shame this woman was walking in, and he entered into her pain. He bridged the gap as he spoke with her and talked about theology, drawing her to himself. And I want to talk about something else, and that's compassion and empathy. So compassion, com means with, pathos means pain. So Jesus walks with us in our pain, but he also has empathy. So M in the word empathy, in pathos, pain. So he enters into our pain with us. And I think that's just beautiful and really encouraging to us as women. We have someone that will walk with us through the pain and difficulty that we are going through. So I'm going to keep going in verse 17. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." So I'll pause here at verse 20 just to talk a little bit. There is some conflict between the Jewish and Samaritan people that encompasses over 700 years in the making, when Jesus came onto the scene and they worshiped at separate temples and had different canons of scripture. So you can kind of just feel this tension as we're walking through this passage and Jesus is having this conversation with the woman at the well. So we are going to go down to the cat claw meeting. Like I said, we love cats. They're our special guests today in the podcast. So I'm going to go to verse 20. So I'm going to continue on in verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he." At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, "For why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. Now we are going to go down to verses 39 through 42. And this is the really encouraging part. "From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'You told me all the things that I have done.' So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word." And I read, actually, you know what, I need to read one more verse, which is verse 42. "And they were saying to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.'" So this is just kind of my own thoughts, but perhaps Jesus was intentional about going to the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well, to bridge the gap and bring healing to all nations. So the gospel is for every woman, and God's desire is that everyone comes into a personal relationship with him. So, Rachel, what do you love most about this story?
I just think it's a really great picture of what Jesus does to transform our hearts as women. And I know we're talking about mothers too, but mothers can experience a great deal of shame in their motherhood and in how they parent. And I just love, like you said, Emily, Jesus meets her in the broken place of shame. And then she experiences this joy and freedom because of what Jesus did. And then she wants to tell everybody about it. And many people believe because of her testimony. They knew who she was and saw who she became after Jesus in her life. And I just think that's so, so beautiful and such, it is the gospel lived out, right? And Jesus was there to do that for her.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. I love that. It's beautiful. Well, I think Rachel has some verses for us to keep encouraging us. And I think, you know, some of these verses go back to what we were talking about in the beginning, that God cares more about our holiness and sanctification in motherhood than he does about the tasks that we actually accomplish for that day. So I think these verses will really encourage you. So I will turn it over to Rachel.
All right, I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 12 now. It says, "Then you will say on that day, 'I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day, you will say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. I think that that's a verse from the Old Testament, but it really accurately expresses the woman at the well and what happened with her, even going so far as to say, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And then you will go and proclaim that to other peoples as well. So I'll keep reading some more verses. The second verse I'm going to read is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16. And this says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. God calls us to holiness. Hebrews 12, 14 is the next verse. You'll hear my Bible rustling here as I...
It's a beautiful sound.
That verse. All right, Hebrews 12, verse 14. I pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. And then our last verse is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we've got two separate verses here, 3 and then 7. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And then verse 7 says, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So lots and lots of verses about sanctification, and that is what God has called us to in all walks of our life, motherhood included. And I definitely feel like motherhood is an opportunity for God to sanctify us, for sure. Lots of great opportunities for that in motherhood.
Yeah, motherhood is very sanctifying.
Yes, it is. It is.
So ladies, we always like to include some application. We would love to hear from you how God is transforming your heart. So Rachel and I are going to kind of share some things that the Lord has prompted us to share with you. And I think it's important that we are cautious about the influences that we may be allowing to lead us as mothers. And these can be things that draw our hearts away from the throne of grace. And something we want you to meditate on this week is, where are you drawing your water from? Is it from Christ? Is it living, abiding water through the gospel, or is it water that is unfruitful for you? And so we have some statements here to prompt your heart. So, and Rachel and I are going to kind of take turns reading these. So I'm going to start us off with the first two, and then Rachel is going to finish with the other two that we have to share with you. So the woman you are following on social media is in a different season, and social media is very big for us as women. In this generation, we are heavily influenced by it, and sometimes that is not in a positive way. So just know that the woman you are following is in a different season. Rachel and I happen to so be in the same season, which is encouraging, but you may be following someone that is in a different season. And comparison will only lead to discouragement and frustration. And so we have some heart checks. This is an idol that really does need to be uprooted. We really want you to flourish and grow in Christ. And so that may be an area that you're struggling with. And so we want these heart checks to become a filter to sift out the lies of the culture that you may be believing. And this is between you and the Lord, and we pray he gives you wisdom and discernment when it comes to your heart posture before him. The second one is when you're tempted to follow the trending mom. So again, a lot of these conversations are about social media, but it's very important. I think we need to have those conversations. We encourage you to open your Bible and watch God go to work on your heart. So another heart check for you. What is one area God is calling you to surrender in this season?
Number 3 says, how many hours do you spend on social media in comparison with reading the Bible with your kids? Is there spiritual growth and maturity in Christ a priority? And our heart check is, how is God leading you to be wise in this season? And our last point is, as a mom, do you take time to care for yourself? Do you feel pressure to feel perfect all the time? And if God asked you to slow down, would you prioritize a healthy rhythm of rest into your daily routine? Our heart check is a prayer for this summer. God, search my heart and know my anxious thoughts. Create in me a clean heart. Lead me in the everlasting truth. Amen. That comes from Psalm 139, 23 through 24.
Well, this has been fun, hasn't it?
It has. This has been great.
Yeah, we did a little photo shoot earlier today, and then we recorded this episode for you ladies. So we just want to say thank you for this conversation, and we can't wait to hear how God is working in you over these next few weeks. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
We exist to equip women in the Word of God for fruitful discipleship in the local church. Connect with us in our Patreon community or email us at hello@redefinedsisters.com. We can't wait to connect with you.